on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right. I gotta confess to you, I'm a little fired up here this morning. I don't know why, but I am. And trust but verify. Well, Ronald Reagan said, "Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight." Jesus' name. I'm kind of on a rant. We're going to do communion. I'm going to change it. We're not going to do communion right now. We're going to do it at an appropriate time. So get your communion. Get ready. If you don't have it, I'll give you a little bit of time. Ronald Reagan, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was. He said, trust but verify. And I think he was talking about our relationships with Russia. Trust them but verify. Make sure they're telling the truth. And I think that applies really probably in every area of our lives. And even in my relationship with my wife, who I love above all earthly things, I trust and verify. She tells me something I don't. She verifies me. Trust and verify. And I don't know why. And you think about the 47,000. Hey, folks, listen. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A divided house can. But a house divided against itself ain't going to be able to. And I'm going to tell you something. The biggest fights that we see going on in American Christianity, I'm going to change glasses here. Those are new cheap ones that sprinkle a bit. The biggest battles that we see going on in American Christianity are what? Internal battles, family feuds. Theological fights. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I have no idea where we are in end time theology. That eschatology. I could get into all that stuff this morning. Partially, it's on my heart. But most of you out there talking to me have never shown any interest at all in end times eschatology. In other words, the validity of what it is they've told us. What's the theme here? Who told you that? Why do you believe them? Now, let me stop right there a second. We know that Satan is the author of confusion. He's the father of lies. There is no truth in him. And if we find ourselves in a spiritual war, would anybody agree with Alex Jones and say that it's an info war? It's an information war? At the heart of that information war is, you ready? Who's your source? Pastor Billy Bob? Pastor Timmy Toes? Who's the person that has told you this stuff that you believe? I'm talking to me. Because through my own spiritual journey, walk, conversion, all of it, I found a lot of stuff that just ain't true. It just ain't true. For instance, the name and claim it and blab it and grab it. Has there ever been anything? Look, I believe the Lord wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be prosperous. But if you think that the Lord is all into your prosperity and your health, then you haven't read the Bible. You haven't read the Faith Hall of Fame. You haven't found out that the gospel of the kingdom of God was built on sacrifice, not on blessings. What happened to us? I read something today. I'm not even going to go there. Another explanation. Somebody egg me on. Say, go ahead and say it. I don't want to say it. Go ahead and egg me on. Somebody say, come on, Coach, say it.
Come on, Coach, say it.
Okay,
on.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Another of why we need to fight Israel's wars. In, help me, a secular nation. a nation that doesn't even believe. I'm talking about a government now, right? I'm talking about the government of America and the government of Israel. Does anybody out there trust our government? Hang on. Why would you trust Israel's? Do you trust the Russian government? Well, why would you trust ours? Oh, I know why. Because we're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we are one nation, under God, indivisible. Come on, you don't believe that stuff anymore, do you? You don't believe that. Why? Because evil men have crept in unaware, and they change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And you know what everybody's mad at Donald Trump about? And I'm not here to defend Donald Trump. They're getting mad that maybe he's getting rich. Yeah, do you believe it? Do you believe it? He's making all these policies so he can be rich. Let me tell you something. The dude's 80-some years old. And how old's Donald Trump? Pretty daggone old. He needs to be richer? Are you kidding me? Why is people looking at that? So, Coach, he dropped all those bombs over, cost us trillions of dollars. Yeah, no kidding. And they're giving money away up in Minnesota to people who aren't even American citizens. Focus your eyes on what matters, folks. See, we're all programmed. I have a show I was going to do. I'm not going to do it today on, boy, we have been so brainwashed. We are so, so brainwashed. How do you know what's true? Because the Bible says you shall know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, make you free. Make you free. And if I opened it up right now and say, hey, somebody tell me a government lie, we'd be here an hour and 40 minutes of lies that they've told us. You don't think Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy? Tell me that you, come on now, tell me. Come on. Come on. Huh? You don't believe that, do you? You really believe we went to the moon? Am I the freak because I'm asking these things? If they were able to lie to us in 1968 and tell us we went to the moon and get away with it for however many years that's been, if they could lie that to us, then they could convince us. Spencer, go to my Facebook page real quick. Then they could convince us that, and we'll show you here. Then they could convince us, scroll down. Oh, that's a beautiful logo. Scroll down. Keep going. It'll show up here in a minute. Keep going. Oh, there's Declan. Go on. Then they could convince us that this is normal. Pull that up, Spencer. Huh? Come on, scroll down. Scroll down, Spence. There. That's normal. That's it. That's normal, right? They convince you that's normal. It's unbelievable. I think I got another. By the way, this picture is taken right outside of where I live. I was on my lawnmower and I took a picture of it. Say, Coach, I don't want to hear all this. I'm talking about the truth. Because folks, you've been lied to. Hey, Spencer, click. I think there's another picture of it, maybe. This isn't another one. What look, hey folks, huh? Huh? And you go talk to the average person that you go to church with and you mentioned chemtrails and they look at you like you're crazy. They don't even know what you're talking about. There's a devil loose. Look at that. Look at, huh? My son-in-law, our son-in-law is becoming a pilot. And I want to ask him, hey, you shoot that stuff out behind your plane? Every time you fly, huh? You shoot that stuff out there and then it turns into clouds. Are you a cloud? Are you a pilot or a cloud maker? Why? Let me, who is that? All right. Hang on. I'll get to it now. I'll get to it. I'm all over the place here this morning. I'm so tired of being lied to. And I can tell you what else. I'm so tired of being accused of being crazy when I obviously know I'm being lied to. Why? Because the Holy Spirit guides me into all truth. It does. Now I'm going to throw this up there and I'm not going to watch it. Okay, I'm not going to get into the debate. Spencer, pull up there. Flat Earth. You want your toes to curl, folks? I don't even know who this is. I don't know who these people are, and I don't take in a position on it's. Didn't I send it to you? Maybe I didn't. Let me see here. Because somebody sent this morning. By the way, thanks to those of you who send this stuff in the morning. Okay, Spencer, I didn't. I'm going to forward it to you right now. Hang on. Let's get this right there to Spencer. And then You do what you believe whoever you want to believe, all right? You believe whoever you want to believe. It's okay with me. I just sent it to you, Spence. You want your toes to curl? I'll turn the sound off so quit doing that. It's distracting to me. There it is, folks. Here you go. 14 minutes and 41 seconds. They lied about the shape of the world. Hey, I'm not taking a position on it. You watch it.
The knowledge, the Babylonian.
And I'm going to ask the same question again. If we went to the moon in 1968, why haven't we gone back? Is our technology better today than it was? They didn't even have cell phones. And yet, President Richard Nixon spoke to the astronauts on the moon on a regular phone. What was the phone number, I wonder, that President Nixon dialed to get a hold of them on the moon? Hey, Spence, real quickly, how far away is the moon? You okay, Michelle? Something dropping, rattling up there. Gee, man. How far away is the moon? They tell us 238,855 miles. Closest points. What? And we went there? Houston, we have a problem. You believe NASA? You trust NASA? Do you believe in the devil? We got a whole culture, a scientific world that tries to tell us we came from monkeys, that we evolved from apes. They teach it to our children, and we freaking believe it. We believe it. I was looking. Let me rant here a second, okay? I was looking at our 12 grandchildren the other day. Talk to our newest little one, Spencer. Well, I probably shouldn't do it. I won't do that. Don't do it, Spencer. Don't do it. And I was thinking, you know what? Every one of those little kids came from me. In fact, I was sitting down with our granddaughters and say, listen, all of you are Doppenmeyers. They looked at me. Yeah. Your mommy, Abby, used to be Abby Doppenmeyer. Maggie used to be Maggie Doppenmeyer. And when she got married, she took a new name, but you're all Doppenmeyers. Well, how does that work? Through a process called DNA. What? Yeah. Yeah, believe it or not, Grampy is in you. I'm in you, I'm telling my grandkids. You're a Doppenmeyer. But some of you are Shornecks because your mommy wasn't a Doppenmeyer. She's a Shorneck. She's a Doppenmeyer now. And to think the baloney that we teach our children in school in regards to evolution, of which there is no, there's a missing link. There's always been a missing link because Christ, God, is the missing link. And they deny it, and they don't teach that to our children. So is it any wonder that men just go wherever the hell they want to go? And the problem at the bottom, let me rant, and I'll get off of it. The bottom of it, the freaking church stands up and supports the government. The government lies. You walk into church, and you ask whether the earth is flat, and they'll look at you like you're, huh? They never even thought of it. Well, I watched John Glenn go up there. You did? Neil Armstrong, did you see him walk on that moon too? Huh? Look, I'm not here to. We've been so lied to, men. We've been so lied to. And, dare I say it, y'all say it, our churches have lied to us. Our denominational system. Hey, friends, let me tell you something. They can't both be right. They can't both be right. Either Jesus is the only way or he's not. Either you have to be born again or you don't. Either speaking in tongues is real or it isn't. See, the Bible says, can two walk together lest they agree? And so we don't agree, and we don't walk together. That's why there's a different church on every corner in every downtown in every small town in the world. Go to Newark, Ohio, and go to downtown. There's a different church on every corner. Why? Because they don't agree. And I get in trouble because I ask the questions. I'm going to make you all mad. Can I ask this question? Hang on. I got some stuff we're going to get to it. I promise. Hang on. Is Donald Trump the president of the United States or the president of Israel? Am I allowed to ask that? And I see, just me, secular nation, I see pastors griping and moaning at President Trump because they don't think he's supporting Israel enough. Some of you are getting nervous right now. You better hear me. The Bible says that there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which you might be saved. No other name. No, Mary Beth, we didn't do communion yet. We're going to. Spencer, find that. There is no other name under heaven. No other name. Not Jew, not Greek, not woman, not man. Ain't no other name, because we are spiritual beings living a natural life, and it's your spirit being. Right? Right? Help me out. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Period. Boy, they got us, huh? They got us chasing our tails, don't we? You know what I like about Coach Dave Live? We're going to go to communion here. Hang on a second. You know what I like about Coach Dave Live? I don't care if you leave. I want to know the truth, because the truth sets you free. And if you think we're wrong here at Coach Dave Live, stay and defend it. Don't rub suck on your thumb. He doesn't believe in the rapture. I don't know about you. I've never been in my life in a more open forum than what we have right here. Whatever you believe, you're allowed to say it here. And you're allowed to believe it here. You don't have to come to my church and take on my theology. End time theology. See, look. If we really believed it was the end time, I'm talking to Christians now. We really believed it was the end time and the rapture's coming and all that kind of stuff. Why the hell do you have a bank account? Why do you go to work? It seemed to me that you would spend all of your time, I would spend all my time trying to rescue my friends who aren't in the ark yet. When we go to church and we go to worship together with people who believe we're at the end times and Jesus is going to appear any moment, and then they leave church and they don't tell anybody the whole freaking week. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because why? Somebody, come on, somebody say amen.
Boom.
Thank you, Vinny. Why? Because they're not programmed to evangelize. They're programmed to obey the pastor. What must I do to be saved? Say a prayer and then go sit in the pew for the next 30 years of your life. That's all. That's it. But coach, they're teaching my children transgenderism. Oh, don't worry about that. We'll be out of here. But coach, the Bible says go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Oh, yeah. But we'll be taken out of here. Somebody prove me wrong here. That's American Christianity. A guy like me and a guy like John Brockoff and go out there and actually stand up and defend. Dale Slosha goes out, defends the preborn. We're going to do that. And we're the freaks. We're the idiots. I'm going to tell you this. I ain't got it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. But I know a lot of the stuff they told me ain't true. Sorry. Just ain't true.
Boom.
Man-made doctrine. Teaching as commandments, the Bible says. Spencer, I'll give you $5 here. Teaching as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Where is that? Matthew 15, verse 9. That's in the Bible. Is it New Testament? I think Matthew 15. But in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments and traditions of men. Tradition! Tradition! Fiddler on the roof. Most American churches are just full of traditions. Like right now, some of you are nervous because we haven't taken communion yet, and we usually do it at the beginning. When you break tradition, people get nervous. The times in which we live, it's unbelievable. And for the most part, somebody help me out here. Scripture says, Spencer, see if you can find this. Occupy till I come. You can see if you can find that. I think it's somewhere in the scripture. Luke 19. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was near Jerusalem. So he said, a certain nobleman, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That, by the way, that would be Jesus going into the earth. He went into a far country to receive a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants. He gave them all 10 pounds and said to them, hey, dudes, hold on to this place till I come back, will you? Will you do that for me? Will you occupy it till I come? No. We want you to, by the way, despite what they tell you in your church, we want you to hold. We want Christians to hold positions of authority. When you walk into your church, they tell you, we don't mix religion and politics. They're going against everything Jesus said. Occupy till I come. Have we? No, because why? The theology we're being taught today is we're going to be out of here soon. We'll be out of here soon. We don't have to occupy this. Old world's burning down. We're going to be out of here. Oh, my goodness. Can I throw this up here real quick? Let me throw that up there. Pull up 1A. Well, we may not have maybe just 10 of us next time. 1A. Eschatology. Eschatology became notably popular in the 17th and 18th. Folks, listen. End time theology is something new. It's something new. Eschatological ideas have existed since ancient times, appearing in Sastra, 500 BC in the Hebrew Bible, Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, preaching about visions of the end of days. In Christianity, early church fathers discussed eschatology, though it was only fragmentary and influenced by Jewish apocalyptic thought. There you go. Premillennialism, amillennialism were present, but not dominant in early Christian writings. The term eschatology itself was coined by a Lutheran theologian, Abraham Kalev, sometime in the 1600s. Eschatology wasn't even a word. And gained wider recognition through the works of F.D.E. Schleiermacher in 1700, which helped establish it as a formal theological discipline, which they now teach in cemeteries. During this period, eschatology became a central topic in Christian doctrine, particularly in discussions of ultimate destiny of humanity, resurrection, judgment, and afterlife. And then, thank God, we got the late, great planet Earth and Hal Lindsey, that prophet Hal Lindsey. 20th century eschatology experienced renewed popularity in 20th century. especially with the consistent eschatology school of Johannes West and Albert Schweitzer and the dialectic theology of Karl Barth and Rudolf Bultmann. What? Social crisis, world wars, cultural movements also fueled interest, particularly in the United States during the 1960s. Folks, this is a new doctrine where millennial hopes intersected with civil rights activism, anti-war movements, countercultural trends. Is this making anybody nervous? Making anybody nervous? From the late 20th century onward, eschatology continued to influence both academic theology and popular culture. What century are we in now? Are we in the 20th century? We're in the 21st century. So just that last century? Just that last century, you mean? Just that last one? From the late 20th century on, eschatology continued to influence both academic theology and popular culture. Really? Dispensationalism gained traction in American fundamentalist churches, particularly after the establishment of Israel in 1948, and evolved into progressive dispensationalism in the 80s and 90s. And today, eschatology remains a significant field of study, shaping religious thought, literature, and media portrayals of the end times. Folks, this is new stuff. It's new stuff. In summary, some of you nervous, want to leave? Think I'm a heretic? I didn't write this. In summary, while eschatological ideas have ancient roots, the concept became formerly popular in theological discourse in the 17th and 18th century, saw a major resurgence in the 20th century. Why? Because that's what they began to teach. One generation teaches the next generation true history. So a major resurgence of the 20th century due to both academic scholarship and cultural movements. End time eschatology, folks, is new. It's new. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's new. I know this. On November 26, 1952, I came into this world. I don't know where I came from. I don't know how I got here. And from that day, I've been taught things by people I honor and respect who taught me things they had been taught. We call that tradition. And the older I got and the more I dug into it, I found out that a lot of those traditions didn't hold up. And that's why there's 46,000 different denominations, because we don't all believe the same thing. Now, I think I'm right. You think you're right. Who's right? That's the debate. That's really where we are. And I would be willing to bet just about everything I own, which I'm in a whole lot, that I die before I'm raptured. You might want to take a bet on that. You might want to take a bet on everything they own, because everything I own, that you'll die before you're raptured. Point being what? Everything we see going on around us, it's our fault. It's our fault. When things get bad, the easiest thing for us to say is, I knew that was going to happen. Bible says things are only going to get worse. It's almost reverse faith. It's almost reverse faith. So I sit home here and I justify my tax dollars going to teach children that they can be a different sex. My tax dollars go to do that. And I go to church on Sunday, my pastor says, well, we don't mix religion and politics here. And soon we wake up and the predominant culture teaches unbiblical things. Now, whose fault would that be? Devil's fault? He's just doing his job. He's just playing his position. And the more it gets worse, it's easiest for it. I love my wife. My wife she's meticulous. I get done mowing the yard, which I did yesterday. and she notices where I didn't trim something. She's meticulous at that. And I think, you mean to tell me I mowed that whole yard and you see that little place I didn't trim? You ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that? You mowed the whole yard and all you see is the one where I messed up. And I believe that's where American Christianity is. Because we dropped the ball, because we didn't advance the kingdom of God, we now just say, well, that's the way God made it. It's God's plan. I'm sorry, I'm rambling so much today. Ray's got something he wants to say. Betty's got something she wants to say. I got some over here. I want everybody to say this in unison. We love you, Coach. Come on, you can say it. You don't have
to
say
it. Yeah, we do. We love you, Coach.
Okay, why? Why?
Because
I'm looking for the truth. I'm not going to believe it just because some denomination taught me that. I'm not going to. There's 42,000 different opinions. But does one opinion occupy till I come? And have we? I want to play this real quickly, and I'm going to open it up. Pastor James David Mann. You guys know him? No, remember him? He's in Harlem, black preacher in Harlem. I've been to his church several times. I have a plaque hanging on my wall from Pastor James David Mann. I got to get a hold of him. He's running for mayor of New York. James David Manning. I said, hanging on my wall upstairs, maybe I'll get a picture of him, bring it down, is an award from his church because I've spoke there a couple times. Took bread there. He's running. Now, folks, listen to what Pastor James David Manning says. And I have to amen it. Go ahead.
Individual made in the image and likeness of Almighty God, reach a point where your being, your presence, your essence tells you to love another man's asshole. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. That's an asshole. Do you know that? That's an asshole. And you're thinking about getting it tonight after wine and dinner? There's something wrong with you. You're not a human being anymore. Taking this community back from them, it's not a problem. When a righteous man stands up, the homos, the liars, the thieves, the politician will all flee. A fellow told me the other day, he said, Manny, all these people scared of you. Ooh. Politicians scared of you, news people scared of you. They all scared of you because they don't know what you're going to do. They can't stop you. I don't know if they're scared of me or not, but I know they can't stop me. And they know I will not bow down to them. If there were 500 men like me in Harlem, hell, we'd run New York City. Can you imagine 500 James David Mannings in New York City? We run this town. And I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to keep on preaching. God, give me strength. I'm going to keep on preaching. When you as an...
I'm going to call him. I'm going to get him on the show. Huh? Is that truth? Just 500 men? Just 500 of us? Stand up. Just 50? And hey, Ray, how many would it take just in what Marshfield? How many, Ray?
How many would it take? Start off with one at least.
Jeezy peasy, but we can't because we've got this theology that it's only going to get worse. It's God wants it to get worse so he can come back. Let me show you another one to encourage you, okay? I'm going to get you in here. Pull up this. This one just really, really blessed me. Cop prayed. Pull that up there. Are you ready for this? Go ahead.
You got to watch this.
Dramatic thing that happened to me in my second year. We were working a day work kidnapping case for a kid from a bus stop. I talked to the dad. I felt horrible for him. I told the dad, we're going to find your kid, which you're never supposed to do. And I pulled my cruiser, like, I don't know, a mile away from the site where the bus stop was. And I was just sitting there and I was asking God, can you find a kid? Like, do you do this anymore? I mean, I think in the Bible you could. But like, can you find a kid? Do you find kids? If you did, how would I know? How would you direct me? And I was mad. I was banging on the steering wheel of my car because it was sad. It was a sad situation. Like I was yelling. And I realized the problem with people when we pray is we ask God questions and we never pay attention after we ask. We ask them and then we're on to the next thing.
Interesting.
But when you ask a question, God can answer according to the scripture from anything, anywhere, nature, animals, people, the Bible, impressions, voices. We just ask and then we just go on with it. We're not aware of anything. So I asked him that question and this car came down the street behind me, just going 25 miles an hour, slow down the street. And he gets even with me because I'm sitting on the side of the road. He gets even with me and I just look at the driver and he looks at me and I feel really sick to my stomach, like someone punched me.
Dang.
And then I was like, oh my gosh, I asked the question. I'm paying attention once I asked. And now I'm very aware of this guy and this very sick feeling in my stomach. So I'm going to act on that. I got out of my cruiser and I walked up to him and the car was empty, just him in it. And I said, I was worked up and I said, get out of your car and open your trunk right now. Get out and open right now. Open the trunk. And he gets out and he opens the trunk and the kid is in the trunk of his car. He's just laying on the ground on the pavement going, wow, why did you stop me? How did you know? How did you like that? And I'm like, well, I was praying about it.
So many people don't get their prayers answered.
Huh? Huh? Isn't that what we were talking about yesterday? You hear? You obey? If something's troubling you, maybe it's the Holy Spirit telling you. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, we can't do anything about it. It's the end times. Jesus said it was going to be like this. My sheep hear my voice. They obey it. We look around. We see all the crap that's going on. We say, oh, well, pastor says that's what it's going to be like here in the end times. Well, I read the Bible. It says this, that in the last days. Hey, Spencer, another $5. Come on. Another $5. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Is this real? Is this in your Bible? Or is just the glorification of Israel? Is that the only thing in your Bible? What happens in the Holy Land? Is that it? It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, by the way, generational. See, do you see the generational shift there? He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and then it's going to get into your sons and in your daughters. Instead of transgenderism and homosex, and if it feels good, do it. Garbage in, garbage out. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men, like me, I'm going to dream dreams. Well, what could happen? Your young men shall see visions. What's 29 say, Spence? What's the next one say? And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will be you while I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Before it comes. Shall come to pass that whoever shall call on my name of the Lord shall be delivered. For Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Hey, that'd be me. I'm that remnant. That's me. It's convicting, isn't it, folks? This is convicting. Because somebody help me out here. Yes or no? Is this the exact opposite message that we're hearing in our churches? We're studying the end. We're studying the end while we're still in the game. God, I had some stuff I wanted to share. I had to get that out of me. I feel better now. One more thing. This is important. Better wake up. Islam in Britain. Pull that up. Then I'm going to let Mel come in real quick, and then I'm going to let James come in here real quick. Folks, hey, hang on. Might be a dirty word or two here, okay? Might be a dirty word or two. Go ahead.
If you let them to take to be in the power, you are done.
I'm not Muslim.
You need to
I'm not
run.
Muslim.
Absolutely fine. Oh, I just want to talk about, tell the truth about Iran. None of them have never been in Iran. I'm Persian. My mom, all my family, 99% of my family, they are still living in Iran. I've been here since I came here 7 years ago. And I know how the murderer regime killed all the people in Iran. And those useless idiots, they don't want to listen to us, to Persian people. You know why? Because they hate Israel. They know Khamenei hate Israel. That's why they love Khamenei. They don't care how Khamenei, less than 3 months ago, killed more than 50,000 people in 2 days. And I can see those people, they are holding the Khamenei picture in their hand, and they are not even Iranian.
Do you think Islamic extremism is on the streets of London?
Listen, they are controlling London. That's why we just try to help people in London. What you're seeing here now, we saw it 50 years ago. Now, we ask our grandfather, our parents, why you didn't say anything? And now I can see, because they've been
drinking. Why didn't you do something?
They say, oh, diversity, oh, we need to respect, oh, we cannot divide. But in a minute, they get to the power, they force you to cover your hair.
You see London being under Sharia law?
Of course, it is. Of course, it is. It is by the Sadiq Khan, by Ayatollah Keir Starmer.
And you've lived under Islamic extremism, understand.
From London. I'm not living in London anymore because I wasn't safe. 2 days ago, they burned the car in North London because they hang the Persian flag. A few days back, they burned 4 ambulances in Golders Green because they've been for Jews. If you let them to be in the power, you are done. You need to run.
No, we don't. No, we don't. We're going to be raptured out. See, that's the church's response to what this guy's telling us. And I hope we are. They call it the blessed hope. But he also said, occupy till I come. Okay, I'm going to exhale. We're going to take communion. Hang in there. We're going to take it. Mel, come on in. I know it's the stuff I was supposed to talk about yesterday and forgot about it. Somebody give me a thumbs up just so I got one person out there says, man, this was good. Just I need some reinforcement. Thanks, Betty. Okay, that's all I need. I see Betty's picture. Thanks, Betty. Go ahead, Mel. I mean, I think I'm not putting you on the spot. I thought you were there, Mel. I'm so discombobulated. James Thomas, come on in, James.
Yeah, love you, brother. I'm going to try to get out there a couple weeks. I'm going to try to get out there and I could go out there and beat up some aliens. So, you know, you kind of read that first thing, that prophecy from Joel, who Peter said in the last, you know, this is kind of a last day thing. And that day, God was going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so we point toward what Peter said, this is that day. Now, the book of Acts, it never, I think I've said this before, never ended. It's still going on.
That's right.
Dave Live is a portion of the book of Acts.
Amen.
So you have the, you know, now this is, my eschatology comes from the Holy Spirit and the Word. The Word, the first church being Thessalonica, right? First church ever Paul ever went to, ever established. He established in this scenario that the rapture had already taken place. This is why Paul had to address it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So this is not a new thing happened by Darby and Schofield and all this stuff. I do agree. I don't go to church. I've kind of separated myself from church. But the people that I associate with that I think her Jan Markell, and they don't have this mindset of we're going to sit back and wait. It's just the nature of the entire church.
It is.
It's not necessarily, well, we're going to wait. Jesus made it a commandment to the believers to watch. What he say to watch for? He wanted the believers to watch for his return, because he know this is what, you know, you're staking is a part of the kingdom of God, and what we do there, this is bringing that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. That's what we do. But he is going to establish, if you go to the book of the end of Romans, and the most wickedest church of the New Testament is the Corinthian church. You know, the First Corinthians and the Second Corinthians, and I guess there was a third one that we wasn't allowed to read because I guess Paul got really pissed. But anyway, in First Corinthians, he even hits up on harpazo and the second coming and all this stuff. So it's just the nature of the church to sit back and do it this brother.
Okay, so Dan, let me pick it up here. Let me roll with this here, right? Does anybody out there know anybody who's been raptured? Does anybody know anybody that's been raptured? Can you go back your lineage and show somebody? They call it the blessed hope.
He knocked in Elijah.
Huh? Hey, I didn't know him. I'm talking, I know my mom and my dad. My dad died. My grandpa died. My great-grandpa died. Everybody in my lineage died. And a lot of them probably hanging on to the idea of the blessed hope, the rapture of the church. So I had a discussion with my wife the other day, and maybe some of you ought to think about this too. I'm 73. I'm not as young as I used to be. I could drop over dead tomorrow. We all could drop over dead tomorrow. We could be raptured tomorrow, right? I said to Michelle, let's sell everything we have and let's pay off all the debt of our children. Let's pay it all off. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could. I couldn't. And so, or should I just leave it to them after we die? If I believe I'm going to be raptured and the end time is just here, well, hell, what am I saving it for? Let me get them out of debt. By the way, you know what Jesus did? Didn't he get y'all out of debt? And we are double-minded. Bible says unstable in all of our ways, saving our money and knowing the ends here. We're freaking stupid. Ray, come on in.
Yeah. Spence, I just put in the chat there, if you wanted to bring up Matthew 26. But coach, before you do communion, I just want to encourage some people to do a deep dive into what we're doing and getting ready to do that we do every Friday. But I was reading that there's four different cups that are taken over Passover. They call it Seder. But it's the Passover cup of sanctification was the first cup that was drank. And that was to remind them that God took them out of Egypt. And then there's the second cup of deliverance, which they acknowledged the Exodus and how it all transpired. And then the third cup is the cup of redemption, that Jesus redeems us. And the fourth cup is the cup of praise. If you go, Spencer, down to 27, and I mean to 39, this is when he's at after the Garden of Gethsemane, and he has to take of this cup. And he asked, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And then go to verse 29 or 28. And this is where he says, this is the cup of my New Testament, which is shed for many. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's house. I believe that's the cup of praise where we all sit and he's going to drink that final cup of praise. We've been redeemed at Gethsemane. He's sitting there and he's taking that cup. by sacrificing his body on the cross for us. And I just thought that was pretty intense. I never really saw that. And I thought people might be interested in looking at it a little deeper. So thanks, Coach.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 You know, the truth is we really haven't thought very deeply on a lot of this stuff. I'm going to go to communion. Hang on. Hang on. Hey, RJ, you sent me something this morning. I couldn't make any sense out. I couldn't open it up. So maybe you can resend that in a, like, if I'm not part of that bing or bong or what. I mean, so I'm not part of those. So I can't open some of that stuff. Laura Ann. Hey, Laura Ann.
Just a couple of things. I'll make it quick.
Laura Ann, hang on. Yeah. Several responses. Did you get a car?
I wound up getting a beater. So, yeah, I got one. It's somebody that I was in ministry with. Okay. I thought, you know,
You don't have to say any more of that. You got a car. You got a car?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It needs a lot of work. I have to take it to the repair shop. But anyways, this thing, there's just a couple points. The first thing about taxes, just everybody just remember you're tithing. It's a tithe. So just use the word tithe to the government. You're tithing to the government. Every time you pay a tax, you're tithing to the government.
Except it's more than a tithe. It'd be good if it was just 10%. It would be good.
Right. If it was just 10%. But if you think of it as a tithe and you change the vocabulary in your head, then it'll switch and what you're looking at. Right. So instead of tithing at church, you're just paying a tax just to attend, to be told a lie, just like the same thing we do in the government. The other thing, the last point is about the end times and the rapture and everything. I'm sick and tired of everybody being focused on that. When the bride, like, coach, can you imagine you coaching your entire team and the only thing they're focused about is the last play of the game? They didn't do any preparation. You didn't talk about it. You didn't study the films. You didn't do any studying. You didn't watch the other teams to show yourself approved. You didn't have your guys go into the gym, right?
Pastor Manning says it takes 500 guys. 500 guys could change America, change New York City. 500.
You know, and when you prepare for a wedding, coach, some people do. But the kind of wedding that the Lord is talking about with this big banquet table and everything and that reception, because it's a reception, right? Yeah. There's a lot of planning that goes into a wedding. So why do you think that you get to sit around and not do anything, not show up, just condemn and judge everybody because their sin, your sin looks so great on them?
Let your neighbor go to hell because the rapture is coming. Let your neighbor
exactly.
Go to hell. Let them teach homosex to your kids in schools because the rapture is coming. See, that's just a sign of it. It's just going to get worse and worse.
Hang on.
My wife's yelling at me. We've got to take communion. Michelle's yelling at me. The boss is yelling at me. Boss is yelling at me. I got you. I love my wife. Grab your communion. Grab the element. Sorry, Laura Ann. Hey, folks, it's our fault. It's our fault. Blame the devil all you want to. Blame the schools. Blame the government. It's all our fault. It's all the church's fault. And we excuse it because we say, well, we were going to lose anyway. You've read the end times, haven't you? We're going to lose anyway. It's all God's plan. Victorious. We serve a victorious king.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Just take a moment and just get your heart right before the Lord. Lord, we just confess to you right now, man. God, we need a Savior. Not only does America need a Savior, we need one individually, Lord. And you told us when you hung on the cross, said it's all your sins are forgiven. It's accomplished. The veil has been rent. And she said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And you hung on that cross. You said, it's finished. I did it. We know, Lord, that on the night you were betrayed, when all your buddies were around you, all your friends who you counted on to have your back, when they all didn't have your back. Last meal that you had together Bible says you took bread and broke it. And you gave it to them and said, here, boys, eat it all. It's my body. I'm laying it down for you for the remission of sins. Your slate is clean. And every time you do this, it's not a sacrament of the church. It's you and me remembering what he did. And Lord, we thank you today for your body. When you got done doing that, you grab some wine. And you handed it, poured it out to all those guys around you. And you said to them, drink it. All of it. Drink all of it. Because it's all about my blood. The continuing reminder that there ain't nothing special about you and your anointing and your giftings and your blessings. It's all about the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And you said, happy are those that are called to this supper. And as often as you do this, remember me. And no, you don't have to go into some church and have a priest bless it. No, you don't have to go do some rigmarole to lead up to it. He died on the cross for the remission and forgiveness of your sins. He paid the price in his own blood. And we do this today just in remembrance of what you did for us. And Father, before we drink this, we're just going to take a minute. Because I know, and you know, Lord, there's some folks out there doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. And they better quit. That you paid the price once and for all. And they can come back to that fountain and be blessed again. But not without repentance. Stop it. Stop sinning. Spitting on your sacrifice. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.